Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The good news is it was nothing more than a ill-considered, badly conceived, insensitive photo op.
This was a photo shoot. There was no need for surprise.
Poor judgment would be a nice way to phrase it.
This was a boneheaded play from top to bottom.
It was a mistake, as was stated.
It is the federal government, and they can do in the end what they please. But I would have tried to stop it, and I don't know there's a lot else to say.
Well, maybe there are a few things more to say, Mayor Bloomberg, as WNYC's Bob Henley is here to talk and look a little bit more deeply into what really happened with that flyover down over Lower Manhattan that scared so many people, so many New Yorkers who were here
and
on
New Jersey.
And people in New Jersey, that's right. But certainly the people in Lower Manhattan who maybe were there on 9/11, maybe still working there or still living there. And anybody, you know, anybody who would have been in proximity. Because the route, Bob, went over New Jersey
came circled around, and it was in close proximity to the Statue of Liberty. It set off all those buttons.
And remind us of the basics. What actually flew how low over what?
Well, I guess it started the notification question. That's really what we need. This is the second and third day part of the story, which is on Thursday, what we understand is Mark Mugnos, who is an employee in the mayor's office. He normally handles parade permits and making sure that large-scale events have all the proper paperwork. He got an advisory from the Department of Defense and the FAA noticing of an operation where a transport plane only identified as V-C-25, for insiders and hobbyists, you'll know that to be what they call Air Force One when it doesn't have the president on it, and two F-16s, two fighters, were going to have this maneuver between 1,000 and 1,500 feet. The thing that was different about this, because these kinds of warnings or advisories happen all the time with Air National Guard and the rest, what was unusual, and I think where the story is going, is the invoking of a national security provision at the bottom that to communicate it to anyone who didn't need to know about it would be a violation of law. And that's where we have a problem, because at that point, apparently, Mr. Mugnos did not kick it up the chain of command. It did go over to the NYPD, where they felt they were hamstrung by this advisory at the bottom to be able to forward it. Normally what happens is the public's advised, we'll get like a traffic advisory so that if we get calls into the station here, whether it's an Air National Guard maneuver or whatever, or a movie being filmed, we can then inform people. What the department was able to do, however, was at least on the 911 switchboard, they were, as of 7 a.m. the morning of the flyover, were able to tell people calling in that it was an authorized maneuver. But what the department couldn't do, it felt, was use this very sophisticated shield. They have this group of retired law enforcement officers and private security folks, part of a thing called the shield that they've organized post 9/11, that operate a lot of these buildings in Lower Manhattan as the security and as, you know, the people that run the buildings. And they could have advised them not to evacuate. Because of this intimidation and use of the federal national security blanket, these systems didn't work, and people did not question authority when they needed to, and that's the intelligence problem.
How bad were the effects? I mean, on the surface, you know, you get a New York Post headline like Scare Force One, you get some pithy sound bites from Anthony Weiner, and then you get Mayor Bloomberg and Senator Schumer kind of just, you know, writing it off as a rookie mistake. Is it any worse than that?
Well, I think what I'm concerned about is that this, from the White House level, whoever made this decision, and there's a considerable bit of focus now, I guess, on Mr. Caldera, who is the head of the, Luis Caldera, who is head of the White House military attaché office. Apparently, he's fallen on his sword. It shows a lack of understanding about what happened on 9/11, and it's a little too soon for that to be lost. So from a public safety standpoint, we were looked at as a backdrop and not a place that's a living community where people were traumatized and where something could step off as a result because of their insensitivity. So it shows that they're not in touch with their job, basically, which is not to make matters worse. If you're concerned about national security, and the irony, of course, is that it was all to cover a promotional thing to get more B-roll. I mean, And then the cost angle, that's the other angle. Apparently anywhere, depending on how anti-Obama the website is, we see the numbers quoted between $300,000 and $600,000 for this exercise of vanity. That's a lot of police officers. So, you have to look at it in its entirety.
Yeah, and B-roll, for those of you who haven't worked in the television industry, is kind of background footage for use in this case, I guess, in publicity shots.
Right.
WNYC's Bob Henley with us. Anybody listening who was around and maybe was evacuated from your building in Lower Manhattan or was in New Jersey and saw this go over, and had it had any impact on you, either emotionally or physically? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. I get your factoid right, $68,000 an hour to fly Air
Force
One.
That was one. Yeah, that seemed to be the most credible number in terms of what it costs to get the jet fuel and the rest in there. And I guess also it comes at a time where the president has sent signals. Remember the flap over the Marine helicopter, Marine One, where he seemed to be really in touch with the fact that they didn't need to have a new model for it. You know, he has been trying to stress this idea of back to basics and not getting into the trappings of office. In this case, somewhere in the command chain, somebody wasn't reflecting his same attitude.
Do we know how far up the command chain this went?
Well, so far we just know that the head of the White House Military Affairs Office is the person that seems to be taking the hit. I do think that you will see an investigation into the use of this national security admonishment at the bottom of the advisory. That seems to have been an abuse of authority right at a time where government is looking for people to buy into the capability and competence and honesty of government with the swine flu epidemic and with reorganizing, you know, banking.
Alan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Alan?
Throughout all this, I was just curious. I saw all these photos, and from eyewitness reports, I haven't heard of any photo shooting airplanes up there or other craft like helicopters. F-16s don't shoot photos. So where was the photo plane shooting?
We're still trying to get details on that because this was shrouded as a national security operation. Apparently there was a sergeant, Air Force sergeant, who was aboard, I guess, Air Force the Air Force One plane that had the capability to do this. You're right. These details are still trying to be ferreted out. But this is
Go ahead. You could just shoot from any plane to shoot pictures of the Statue of Liberty. The idea was to get Air Force One in the foreground of a photo going around the Statue of Liberty, and there were no reconnaissance or photo shooting planes up there.
We still don't know the full detail.
Rogue?
We still don't know the full details of how they were capturing the images. And I assure you that this will be B-roll that will be focused on, and there'll be a lot of attention paid to how it was gotten and what the costs were.
All right, Alan, thank you. Brad in Manhattan, you were there, and it wasn't all fear?
No, it wasn't all fear at all. Actually, when the plane passed, a lot of the hard hats took their hats off in a big hip hip hooray and a cheer. It was very self-evident. It was said the United States of America, anybody who watches television knew it was Air Force One. And when it came back again, another cheer. I mean, it wasn't all this fear of people running. It was actually, you know, nice to actually see, you know, the president of our country flying by in the plane. So it wasn't fear. It was a lot of people, you know, hip, hip, hooray, and, taking off their hats, hard hats anyway. Guys took off their baseball caps.
That's pretty interesting, Brad. Where were you exactly?
I was actually at the Church Street. So as it came around, I was on the other side of the actual pit that's going to be the Freedom.
Right.
We were there. You know, we saw people running, and we didn't know, but others were just looking up and waving. I guess they knew where it was, or they sensed the plane. Perhaps the people coming out of the plane didn't realize it.
Right. Some people like yourself could recognize what it was, and others just saw a low-flying plane over Manhattan.
Correct, yeah, probably.
And a fighter, you had a fighter jet in tail, too, so that was the other thing.
No, it was an Air Force One.
It's the same plane, except you don't call
jet,
it. You don't
but
call
the president
it, the
was not in
the
it.
The president was not in it,
but,
right.
But for somebody
flying
like...
Flying the colors without the man who's the president.
Right, but for someone like Brad, who was able to actually recognize it as an Air Force One plane, he thought the president was in there.
I mean, I don't want to get too John Grisham about this, but let's look at it. Supposing if you want to have a novel scenario where, using national security, you get to fly a big plane that could carry some kind of weapon on it and drop it in Lower Manhattan. The point is that we have systems, and we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars for one hand to know what the other is doing. And the mayor has communicated, and he's quite a manager, that he would have called Washington before to push back on it, and he wasn't given the information to do that. The only person who's been disciplined, apparently, is the gentleman who handles parade permits, Mark Mugnos.
Alice in Morris County. You're in WNYC. Hi, Alice.
Hi. Actually, my daughter called me at the time. She was in the World Financial Center and was evacuated, and thought it was a terrible thing. People having to, some pregnant women running down five flights of stairs. That it was very insensitive, and many of those people had been in the World Financial Center.
At the time of 9/11.
At the time, yes.
Alice, thank you. So Bradford was able to recognize it as a U.S. government flyover. Not all the people who run the buildings and who are the emergency contacts in the major buildings downtown were able to so recognize.
And that's the sad point, is that the police department has done that work. That infrastructure is in place, except somebody in the police department, and they need to find out who, made a decision not to drop the dime and call the mayor and work out of the chain of command. Because sometimes, once in a while, you have to challenge authority, even if it's the federal government.
George in Lower Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, George.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
I was there. I saw it happen. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. George, did we lose you? We got you, George. George? Okay, let's try Erica in Brooklyn. Erica, you're on WNYC.
Hi. I did not see the plane, but I just wanted to say I was really proud of the people who called in to the police department.
Proud of folks for calling 911?
I'm sorry?
You were proud that people, picked up the phone and called
911? Oh, I'm sorry, yes. That they were calling and saying, I'm seeing something. This might be something bad, and not backing down, even though it was a kind of an interesting thing to see Air Force One. But people are seeing something and saying something, and that's what we've been asked to do.
Thank you, Erica. See something, say something.
Something, unfortunately, the police department couldn't do.
Let's see if we can get George in Lower Manhattan back to tell a story. George, you were there, and?
Yeah, I was there, and it was disconcerting to see a plane. I mean, I recognized it eventually, what it was, but when I first saw it, I said, oh, my God, it's not going to happen again. I was actually at the World Trade Center when the building went down. So to see another plane, you know, was a little scary. But I did see the jet fighter. So I said, well, you know, something must be okay. There was no jet fighter on the initial 9/11 incident. So
if something is trying to get us,
yeah,
then we're after that thing.
The whole thing, though, is that, you know, Obama has to establish credibility that he knows what he's doing. If his staff indicate that they don't know what they're doing, it sort of creates a fear, not here in Manhattan necessarily, but across the country, as to, you know, what are these idiots doing in the White House and why are they there?
George, thanks a lot. From the comments page, have the feds ever heard of Photoshop? It's a lot cheaper to copy and paste a photo of Air Force One into a picture of the Statue of Liberty. Bob, we've got a minute left,
sure.
And we're going to give you an addendum here, a little coda, to talk about Martha Stark, the New York City Finance Commissioner. Look, the Bloomberg administration has been incredibly free of scandal, considering how long it's gone on. Real quick, what happened with Martha Stark?
What happened was she came on early on in the administration, credited for making property tax bills easier to read, a national expert on municipal tax law. What I guess happened was a series of allegations came one after another. The first one that seemed to really bite was the fact that she had received six figures from a private real estate firm. She was on the board of this publicly traded, I guess, real estate firm that didn't have property in New York but had its headquarters here. That was on top of her $190,000 salary annually. She had to step down from that. Then there became charges that she had basically given special treatment to the husband of one of her top lieutenants. And then just one thing after another. And eventually, the mayor asked for the Department of Investigation and for the Conflict of Interest Board to investigate. Those investigations evidently are still going on, but she resigned. So it's a big hit for the mayor.
5 seconds. Any loss of taxpayer funds?
No, not that I know of yet, but you never know.
All right. WNYC's Bob Henley. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.